This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. When Foxconn first announced its plan to open a huge LCD factory near Racine, the project promised to be one of the biggest deals in Wisconsin history. Foxconn and Wisconsin's Republican leadership claimed it would create 13,000 jobs and generate billions in revenue. And that was key, since the deal also meant that Foxconn would be getting $3 billion in subsidies, making it the largest government handout to a foreign company in U.S. history. But it's 2 years later, and little has materialized. Despite claims by Foxconn, the company hasn't built an LCD factory, and what they have created is a building 1/20th the size of the initial plan. A state report recently revealed by The Verge shows there is no LCD factory, and it seems very unlikely there will ever be one on the site where eminent domain forced residents to leave their homes. The few jobs that were created are far less than the thousands promised by this time, and many of those employed aren't entirely sure what they were hired to do. Josh Jezza is an investigations editor and the feature writer who has been reporting on Foxconn for The Verge. He says that his conservative estimate found the state has already spent $400 million on this deal. Jezza joins me to talk more about what he found through his reporting. Josh, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
This is a loaded question, but it's really hard to have this conversation without starting here. Can you give us a kind of truncated timeline of what's happened with Foxconn here in Wisconsin?
So this all started in early 2017 when Foxconn's founder, Terry Goh, started floating the idea of a big factory in the U.S. somewhere. The Trump administration took him up on that, arranged a meeting with then-Governor Scott Walker. And there was sort of a bidding war between several states. Walker really wanted it. And then by the end of 2017, sort of the summer of 2017, and then I believe it was November 2017, the contract was finally signed with WEDC to create this enormous LCD factory in exchange for what came to total about $4.5 to $4.8 billion subsidy. And then the summer of 2018, there was a groundbreaking ceremony with Trump and Walker and Goh and various other officials that was supposed to begin construction on this giant manufacturing complex.
Well, and for people who've been out that way, it does appear that there has been some movement. You can see that there's been some construction, but ever since this deal was first announced, there have been a lot of red flags. As you talk about in your piece, of course, Foxconn themselves started to kind of hedge what they were promising. They have the groundbreaking ceremony. Trump comes. They're calling it the eighth wonder of the world, as your article points out. What happens then?
So, yeah, there's always been a lot of haziness around exactly what Foxconn was building. And this even predates the contract. When Foxconn first was talking with the Walker administration about building something, they were proposing two different factories. One is called a Gen 10.5 giant LCD factory, makes big screen LCDs. The other one was a Gen 6, which was smaller. They went with the 10.5, but at some point, it came to be the size of both factories combined, almost. But then, as you said, shortly before the groundbreaking, a Foxconn executive said, actually, we can't make the 10.5 here, you know, largely because the suppliers aren't here. They would need an on-site glass maker. So they'll make the smaller one. Then, beginning of 2019, the executive says again, actually, we're not going to build LCDs at all. It doesn't make sense. It's not commercially viable. Trump calls Foxconn immediately, announces we'll build LCDs, in fact, and then starts moving forward with what they say is a Gen 6 LCD facility. But as you said, they are building something. It's not that. It's not a Gen 6 by the conventional understanding of the term. But the company has been sort of flailing around trying to figure out what to do, building buildings that have no clear purpose for the last 2 years.
So there were a lot of promises that were made, and I think it might be best to just kind of go through them and see what's actually happened. So they promised, you know, tens of thousands of jobs, a huge infusion of money into the area. With the number of jobs, where are we at with that? You actually had a chance to talk to people who worked for Foxconn. It seems very interesting.
It is very interesting. So that's right. They promised 13,000 jobs. It was supposed to ramp up very quickly. So at the end of 2019, they were supposed to have a little over 2,000 jobs. In fact, WDC found that they had 281 that were eligible under the contract. But one of the real problems with pinning down exactly how many people work at Foxconn is that a lot of these people were hired very late in the year, in part of an attempt to reach the threshold Foxconn needed in order to receive subsidies. Each year is supposed to employ an escalating number of people in order to get payments from the state. And Foxconn quite explicitly was trying to hit those numbers, which meant hiring people that did not have actual work to do in many cases. And then at the end of 2019, a lot of those people were local college students, foreign students on visas. Many of them didn't have real roles, and a lot of people were laid off starting in 2020. And so figuring out an exact number of how many people work there is difficult, but you know, we have these snapshots from the applications at the end of the year, about 280. There have been layoffs since then. Foxconn says it has about 500 people now. The real issue is it's not 13,000. It's not anywhere near where they're supposed to be at this point. And a lot of these jobs are pretty strange, not having a real role, sort of trying to figure out something to do because they believed in the project and want to make it real, but having all proposals stall or get vetoed by Foxconn management. And, you know, talk to people who spent a significant amount of time just watching Netflix or taking long lunches.
Well, and that was a big part of the promise. When this deal was initially announced, a big thing that they were touting, specifically Republicans inside of the state of Wisconsin, they were saying we were going to have all of these new blue-collar jobs. Here in Milwaukee, that means a lot. We've lost a lot of factory jobs, really starting in the 1970s, but accelerated over the last couple decades. What were the kinds of jobs that they actually created, at least the ones that you were able to verify?
That's a good question. Not really manufacturing jobs. They hired a lot of corporate services people early on, various other roles. You can kind of get a picture, actually. WDC did an audit at the end of 2019 of what people were doing. And you have some software engineers, you have people in sales, business development, that kind of thing. You have a few people who are working on circuit board manufacturing. Foxconn is doing, they're doing something with servers. It's quite small from what I've been able to tell. We're talking, you know, a few dozen people maybe. So the blue collar manufacturing jobs did not really appear. If Foxconn is on its way to finding something to do in Wisconsin, it's likely going to be a fairly automated, small scale assembly manufacturing line. Not the 13,000, probably not even 1,000, but hard to say exactly.
Well, that's something that your article gets into, or one of your articles gets into, that for me was very astounding reading. I mean, there was the hedging initially about what kind of factory that they would have, but inside of your piece, you say they didn't even really have an idea for what they'd be doing in southeastern Wisconsin. As it stands right now, do we know what the plan is for southeastern Wisconsin for the buildings that they've already created?
We do not, as far as I know, Foxconn has not said what. I mean, Foxconn has said that they're going to make LCDs in that factory, but you know, at various points they were looking for other people to move into it. The building, they recently took out a permit to use the LCD manufacturing part of it as storage. It is not on its way to becoming an LCD factory, and in fact, state document that I got through a records request says it is not, by any conventional understanding, it is not a Gen 6 LCD facility. They have not ordered the equipment they would need to make LCDs. It would be the smallest such facility in the world. It says it's more like a display building. It is not a long-term commercially viable LCD factory. And so it's unclear what Foxconn will use it for. It's possible, similar to what Foxconn already does in Mexico and other places, they'll send in components that are made in China to be assembled into TVs or monitors or whatever in that building. It would not have the supply chain impacts that were promised. It would not employ nearly as many people as were promised. But the short answer is no, we don't know what's happening in any of these buildings.
I think that gets to this larger point. Throughout this process, Foxconn seemingly hasn't just lacked transparency. It seems like they've been deliberately misleading at different points about what their plans really are. Is that a fair thing to say?
It's difficult to. I've never quite been able to figure out how much of this is Foxconn not knowing what Foxconn is doing and not wanting to admit it, and how much of it is coming from pressure to maintain appearances that they're doing what they promised. But for a year and a half, I've gone through correspondence in which the state says, "We'll revise the contract to reflect what you're doing," essentially, but you have to say what you're doing, and Foxconn sort of going back and forth and not really doing it, or doing it for a bit and then backtracking and consistently saying we're building an LCD factory, even if it's clear that they're not on a trajectory to do that. Why Foxconn is doing that, I don't really know. Of course, they got yelled at by Trump when they said they weren't building an LCD factory. And if you look at Tarrego's statement, which refers to Trump multiple times and working with him and going to Wisconsin being his idea. And there was a sense among employees as well that this project was always political and needs to be maintained for that reason, that appearance needs to be maintained for that reason. I certainly think it's fair to say Foxconn has not been transparent about what it's doing. The reasons why, I'm not really sure.
As you mentioned, there have been a lot of politics that are tied up in all of this. Racine, I believe, is now in Wisconsin's first congressional district, which at the time would have been Paul Ryan's district, now Brian Steele's. It's also Wisconsin itself, a swing state that is often divided to the point that many of our elections are decided by a very small amount of voters. So this was something that was really promoted by the people in power at the time, Governor Walker, a Republican, and our Republican-led legislature and assembly. So far, have we seen any evidence of Republicans inside of the state, outside of the state, taking accountability for what's happened here?
I have not seen that. Yeah, the state Republicans have been quite vocal proponents and defenders of the project. From what I can tell, that defense seems to have gotten quieter lately, but I wouldn't say I've seen anyone criticize the deal who used to support it. It still appears to be quite partisan. And lately, you have the federal level, you have Navarro, you have Trump mentioning it, saying that it will bring great things, that it's on track.
Despite the fact that we can tell it's not.
Right.
As you look at this situation here in Wisconsin, through your reporting, what have you found as the major pitfalls in this deal? Was it the state not being on top of what they were asking of Foxconn? Was it, Foxconn miscommunicating things? Where were some of the breaks in this deal?
From what I've seen, it doesn't seem like anyone involved in this deal at the outset seriously examined the likelihood Foxconn would do what it was promising. If you talk to industry experts, they'll tell you that a glut in the LCD industry was foreseeable at the time, that major suppliers would have to co-locate with Foxconn to make this giant factory a reality. There were real red flags at the beginning about the likelihood that Foxconn would build this thing, even leaving aside the fact that Foxconn routinely promises giant factories that don't show up. And so I think the state really entered into this deal, started building infrastructure, started relocating people in preparation for a factory that never seemed that likely to appear, and then he continued doing that even after Foxconn started publicly wavering in its plans. I think that was the first major pitfall.
Yeah. Now, this is a difficult question to really answer and assess, but as it stands, how much money has Wisconsin lost in this deal?
Yeah, so the number I've come up with, which is a conservative estimate, is at least 400 million. I wouldn't say it's been lost, but it's been spent on, developing roads for the thousands of workers that Foxconn was going to need, sewer, water, power, infrastructure that this factory is supposed to need. Maybe some other company will use that, but it does not seem foreseeable that Foxconn will. Some of that money comes from the local governments, which technically will get repaid by Foxconn. They were counting on property taxes from the TID district to pay off that debt. Foxconn is contractually obligated to make up the shortfall. Whether that happens, I don't know. But yeah, at least 400 million has been spent. There are other numbers. Mount Pleasant was supposed to take out about 800 million in debt to take on this project. They haven't issued all those bonds, but it's a significant amount.
As you mentioned, there were safeguards in the initial deal that would put Foxconn on the hook for, some of these expenses. Is there any way for us, the state of Wisconsin, the United States, is there any way of holding Foxconn accountable for the promises they made but couldn't keep?
I'm not really sure, other than denying them future subsidy payments, which the state has already done. I think anything else would be something for a lawsuit to resolve.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for sharing it with us today. And thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Josh Jezza is an investigations editor and feature writer who covers technology, business, and climate change for The Verge. You can find links to his ongoing reporting on Foxconn in Wisconsin at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.